New Line Cinema, a Time Warner company. Quickly changing out-of-focus TV images flash on the screen.
For Numinator.
Start playing.
Be around him.
Ever since the marriage.
We have to thank the fuck.
Our cash bailed me out on the main subject.
And you know?
Bobo.
Behind the lights.
Pleasantville.
To my wife, Bernie.
Oh, sorry, boy.
They hurt.
Went through the crack.
This hand.
Stay.
You're watching TV Time, the only network playing lots of old stuff in nothing but black and white. Why, it's fun for the whole family. TV Time. Remember, you're soaking it. This Friday on TV Time, take the phone off the hook and the plastic off the couch. That's right, it's the Pleasantville Marathon. 24 hours chocked full of pure family value. Featuring the warm greeting.
Honey, I'm home.
Proper nutrition.
Do you want some more cookies?
And of course, safe sex.
Twin beds are shown.
Why, it's a scrapbook of all your favorite Pleasantville memories. There's trouble at the barbershop. Firemen for a day. The big game. And who could forget, Bud gets a job. So join all your favorites. Mary Sue, Bud, George and Betty, and oh yes, Mr. Johnson at the soda shop. But wait, there's more. If you put your thinking caps on, you could win $1,000 in our Pleasantville Trivia Contest. Plus a free trip to the Pleasantville of your choice. Flashback to kinder, gentler times on the Pleasantville Marathon. This Friday only on TV Time.
The screen goes black and the words "Once Upon a Time" appear. Teenagers with backpacks walk toward a school. One teen has a tongue stud. A school bus drives by. Students cluster in small groups to talk. A dark-haired boy is talking to a blonde-haired girl.
Hi. I mean, hi. Look, you probably don't think I should be asking you this. I mean, not knowing you well and all. I know you as everybody knows you. I just don't know you. Technically. I don't know what you're doing this weekend, but my mom's leaving town and she's letting me borrow the car. So, you know.
She just looks at him. But she's not really there. She's across a plaza talking to another boy.
Okie dokie, so just give me a call, let me know.
He watches her walk away with the other boy.
Bye.
In an auditorium.
For those of you going on to college next year, the chance of finding a good job will actually decrease by the time you graduate. The available number of entry-level jobs will drop 31% over the next 4 years. Median income for those jobs will go down as well. Obviously, my friends, it's a competitive world. And good grades are your only ticket through. In fact, by the year 2000...
the chance of contracting HIV from a non-monogamous lifestyle will climb to 1 in 150. The odds of dying in an auto accident are only 1 in 2,500. Now, this marks a drastic increase.
From 14 years ago, when ozone depletion was at just 10% of its current level. By the time you are 30 years old, average global temperature will have risen 2.5 degrees, causing such catastrophic consequences as typhoons, floods, widespread drought, and famine. Okay, who can tell me what famine is?
It's dusk as a security patrol car drives through a neighborhood of closely spaced new houses with 3-car garages.
Honey, I'm home.
Now everything is in black and white.
Hello, darling. How was your day?
Oh, swell. You know, Mr. Connell says if things keep going the way they are, I might be seeing that promotion sooner than I thought.
Oh, darling, that's wonderful. I always knew you could do it.
The dark-haired boy's watching TV.
Hey, pumpkin. What's that smell? Is that your meatloaf?
It might be.
It might be.
Oh, pumpkin, you sure know the way to this man's heart.
The boy's mother's on the phone.
No, that was not the deal.
Then I better not.
No, you have custody first weekend of every month. This is the first weekend. No, I'm not going to bail you out. I'm going out of town this weekend. LaCosta. Barry, if I want to have a mud bath with my new boyfriend, that's really my business, isn't it?
Hey, where are those
kids?
Excuse
me?
Right behind you, Father.
Right behind you, Father.
Mother, Father, Bud has a little surprise for you.
What's that, Bud?
First place in the science fair.
George and Betty beam.
There were lots of swell projects. I guess mine was just the swellest.
Darling, that's wonderful, except there's no such word as swellest.
Well, gee whiz, Mom. It wasn't the English fair.
No, that's not the point. The point is, you're supposed to see them. Fine, fine, fine. See them another time.
What's a mother to do?
What's a mother to do?
The boy smiles a little as the TV family smile at each other, and the word Pleasantville is written across the screen in cursive. The next day at school, he eats lunch with a friend.
Okay, in the very first Pleasantville episode, whose window did Bud break when he was playing with his father's golf clubs?
Easy, Mr. Jenkins. What job did Mr. Jenkins have?
The friend thinks.
Salesman. What did Bud and Mary Sue name the cat they found in the gutter?
Scout?
Marmalade. All right, all right. Here's one. Why did their parents come home early from their weekend at the lake?
The friend twists his mouth to one side.
Because Bud didn't answer the phone and they were worried about him.
Man. You're unbelievable. You'll win this thing for sure. When is it on?
Marathon starts at 6:30. Contest is tomorrow at noon.
$1,000, huh? And it's on all night?
Of course it is, Howard. That's why they call it a marathon.
He is, like, so pathetic. I can't believe you're, like, related to him. Only on my parents' side.
Yeah, but you guys are like twins and stuff. You must be from the cool side of the uterus.
Oh, my God. Here they come.
Three boys walk toward the girls.
Oh, my God. Don't do anything. Oh, just don't do anything. What?
The twin walks toward the boys and her friends follow.
Hey.
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 Hey. Hey. Saw you at the mall yesterday.
Yeah, I saw you too.
So you gonna watch the concert on MTV tonight?
Yeah. You?
Yeah.
Her friends watch.
My mom's gonna be out of town.
The boy's friends smile.
Cool.
Cool. It was so amazing, Daff. I was like, so my mom's gonna go out of town. And he was like, yeah, well, maybe we could. And I was like, yeah, sure. And he was like, cool. I know, he's so smart. I don't know, I'm thinking about that red thing that I got at the mall. It's not slutty.
She holds it up in front of her.
It's fun. Well, hello, he's not coming over to study. Yeah, I know. Well, sometimes I'm jealous of you, too.
She rolls her eyes.
He's not homeless, Howard. They just don't say where he lives.
Her twin is on the phone.
Well, it's a silly question.
He looks out the window.
Because nobody's homeless in Pleasantville.
He sees his mom loading her car.
Because that's just not what it's like.
She closes the trunk and leaves.
Look, Howard, it's almost 6:30. I gotta go.
The TV sits turned off downstairs. The girl twin applies makeup. Her brother looks at himself in a mirror. She sprays breath freshener in her mouth. He munches chips. The TV waits. She packs her purse. He pours a soda. She runs down the stairs in strappy shoes. He comes down in sneakers. The remote control is on a coffee table. They pick it up at the same time and fight over it.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Cut it out, David. Mark Davis is going to be here in like minutes.
Well, great. The Pleasantville Marathon starts at 6:30.
I don't believe this. He's going to like be here.
Great. You can watch it upstairs.
Upstairs? Upstairs? It doesn't have any stereo.
He pulls the remote away and it flies into the wall behind him, smashing into bits.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
David, stop stressing. You can just like turn it on normally.
No, I can't. It's a new TV, Jen. It doesn't work without a remote.
Oh my God, he's here.
She fluffs her hair and hurries to the door where she fluffs it again. She opens the door with a big smile that quickly fades.
TV repair.
TV repair?
Yeah, TV busted.
Yeah?
Well, here I am.
He walks past her into the house. She frowns at his truck, which bears the words, Reliable TV Repair. We'll fix you for good.
Holy cow, look at that.
David eyes the repairman.
Had a little disaster, didn't you, fella?
Well, yeah, sort of.
Well, we'll get you fixed up in no time.
He opens his toolbox.
I know how I'd feel if mine went out. Almost like losing a friend.
You know, we didn't call any TV repair.
Well, that makes it a lucky day for both of us, doesn't it?
Do you think you could, like, do this soon? It's almost 6:30.
What's the hurry?
Pleasantville Marathon starts at 6:30.
Jen scowls.
Pleasantville? Gosh, I love that show. Watched it for years.
That's not the reason. I've got a date at 6:30.
Hey, who did Muffin take to the masquerade ball when her date came down with the measles?
Her father.
That's right. And how'd she dress him?
As Prince Charming.
Nice.
Jen walks away.
Remember the one where Bud lost his cousin when he was supposed to be watching him?
Yeah.
What department store did they go to?
McIntyre's.
McGinty's?
No, McIntyre's. Remember? For the very best in men's attire, head right down to McIntyre's.
The repairman smiles and nods.
That's right.
David beams.
Listen,
He picks up a silver remote control.
Why don't you take this remote instead? It's got a little more oomph in it.
Oomph?
Sure. Big, beautiful set like that. You want something that'll put you right in the show.
David takes the remote. Jen returns.
It's great. We'll take it.
David looks at the remote, then at the repairman.
Thank you.
Well, I better get going. Your show's almost on.
He turns to Jen.
And it's almost time for your date.
She smiles at him but wrinkles her forehead behind his back.
Take care now.
With bewildered looks, they watch him leave. David walks slowly over to the TV and aims the remote. Jen follows him. The dark screen stares back at them as David holds the remote out and moves his thumb closer to a large red button. He presses the button.
Whether it's on the track at Indy or just driving around the block, only new...
As for program information, just...
Honey, I'm home.
Great.
Let me see that.
No way.
Outside, the repairman sits in his truck and looks at David and Jen's house. Inside on TV, Bud and Mary Sue are fighting for possession of a radio as Jen and David fight for the remote.
Gee whiz, Mary Sue. Why can't I borrow your transistor radio?
Ask Betty Jane. She could use it over the
weekend.
Do you
mind? This is only the most important moment of my whole life.
Forget it, Jen. I've waited a year for this.
Come on, David. Just give it to me.
Forget it!
No, wait, Bud.
Get it, Mary Sue.
David and Jen are sucked into the TV, replacing Bud and Mary Sue. They're wearing 50 Styles clothes in a black and white home with twin beds for the parents and George's hat hanging by the door.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
I'm not sure.
George enters.
Hi, sport.
Hi, Muffin. Better get a move on. You'll be late for school.
What did you do?
I don't know.
She looks at her hand.
Look at me. I'm pasty.
Over here.
The repairman's on TV.
Told you it was your lucky day. I bet you thought I was just a fan or something.
What happened?
A miracle. Every time I thought I'd found someone, they'd turn out to disappoint me. They'd know all the early episodes, but they wouldn't know the later ones. They'd know all about Muffin, but they wouldn't know about Bud.
Bud, Mary Sue, breakfast is on the table.
We're in Pleasantville?
A dream come true, huh?
Listen, this really isn't funny. I have a very important date in like 5 minutes.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
On the TV, Jen sees her date knock on her door, then walk away.
Please.
No!
You have got to get us out of here.
Why would I do that?
Because we don't belong.
Oh, sure you do. McIntyre's department store, their father dressed as Prince Charming. That was gorgeous, Bud.
My name is David.
Oh, God.
You know, this is a pretty strange way of showing your appreciation.
Hey, we appreciate it. We really do. We just want to go home now.
But you don't know how long I've been looking for someone like you. I'm very disappointed. In fact, I'm starting to get a little upset.
No, don't get upset.
Well, wouldn't you? You look for someone for years. You pour your heart into it. This is a privilege, you know. I don't think I better talk about this right now.
Where are you going?
I don't think we should discuss this until I'm a little more composed.
Wait a minute.
Maybe in a while when I'm not so emotional. Give you a week or two to change your attitude.
Come back! Come back!
The screen shows a test pattern. David punches buttons on the remote, then changes channels manually.
A week or two?
Like Mom and Dad. Being silly.
From day to day.
After three channels, he's back to the test pattern.
Oh, God.
What's gonna happen?
I don't know. It's not possible. Is it possible?
Bud! Mary Sue, your breakfast is getting cold.
It can't be possible.
Jen sees a calendar dated April 1958, and their faces have replaced Bud and Mary Sue's in a family portrait. Betty sticks her head out of the kitchen.
Well, come on, kids. You're not going off to school without a hot breakfast inside you.
She enters wearing a full-skirted dress and ruffly apron.
Forward march.
David and Jen look around helplessly. He slides the remote under a chair and turns off the TV. They stand and face the smiling Betty. As they walk past her to the kitchen, she stops Jen.
I just love you in that sweater, Mary Sue. It's so flattering.
Thanks.
In the kitchen, George lowers his newspaper.
Morning, kids. Better get a move on or you'll be late for school.
The table is heaped with food.
I don't believe this.
Neither do I.
Well, come on, dig in.
I put blueberries in them just the way you like.
She puts two tall stacks of pancakes on the table.
Well, come on, sweetie. It's getting late.
Actually, I'm not hungry.
Nonsense, young lady. You're going to start your day off with a nice big breakfast. Here we go. Sit down.
She loads up Jen's plate.
Here's some pancakes and eggs.
Jen looks up at David.
Sausage and some good crisp bacon.
David gapes at all the food.
And, of course, a ham steak.
Jen looks pleadingly at David.
Now, you eat on up, then it's right off to school.
Betty drowns the pancakes in syrup. Jen frowns behind a bowl of biscuits and stacks of toast and waffles. She looks at Betty.
Hurry, hurry.
A man in a crisp white uniform walks up the sidewalk carrying bottles of milk. David and Jen are walking down the sidewalk.
I'm gonna hurl David, I swear to God.
Just take deep breaths.
It's all that animal fat. I can feel it in my pores or something. And I still don't see why we're doing this.
Because we're supposed to be in school.
We're supposed to be at home, David. We're supposed to be in color.
Okay.
God.
Hello, Bud.
A man is in his front yard watering flowers.
Hello, Mr. Simpson. Hear your dad got a new car.
Oh, yeah. A Buick. It's swell.
Great.
They continue down the sidewalk.
Do you know that guy?
Yeah, he owns the hardware store.
Will you listen to me for just a minute? I don't know what you've done to us, but you better fix it fast. I had a date with Mark Davis, and I even bought new underwear.
Okay, we have to just play along for a little while until that guy shows up again and...
Play along?
Yes, I am Bud Parker, and you are Mary Sue.
No, I'm not going to do it. If I don't dress like this for Mom, I'm sure as hell not going to do it for
you. We have no choice, Jen. We are stuck here until that guy shows up again.
Why can't we just explain it to somebody?
To who?
David and Jen watch as an old-fashioned fire engine comes down the street.
Go, go, go! Hurry up!
The firemen lean a ladder against a tree. One of them climbs up the ladder and smiles.
Here, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty.
Jen shakes her head.
Oh, God. We are. We're like stuck in Nerdville.
She sits on a bench.
I knew you'd pay a price for this. I knew you couldn't be so hopelessly geek-ridden for so long without suffering some really tragic consequences. But it's just not fair. I was getting really popular, and Debbie Russell had transferred to another school. And my skin was really great since March.
Mark Davis was finally starting to come around.
Hello, Mary Sue.
She turns and sees a boy with slicked back hair smiling at her from a convertible.
What's all the commotion? Where's the cat?
She smiles and shakes her head. She nods toward the tree where the firemen are handing the cat to a woman.
Oh, right.
The boy gives her a big grin.
I'll see you at school, Mary Sue.
She nods, and he drives away.
Who's that?
Skip Martin, captain of the basketball team.
Does he like me?
As a matter of fact, he does.
She smiles slyly. Smiling boys in letter sweaters walk past an American flag on a tall flagpole. Students make their way to school. Three girls dressed in full skirts with blouses and cardigans are talking to each other.
Those are my friends.
Peggy Jane, Lisa Ann, Betty Jean.
Can we do any better?
I don't think so.
Okay.
She pats her hair and walks toward the group as David watches her. In a classroom.
Last week, class, we discussed the geography of Main Street. This week, we're going to be talking about Elm Street. Now, can anyone tell me the difference between Elm Street and Main Street?
A boy raises his hand.
Tommy.
It's not as long?
That's right, Tommy. It's not as long. Also, it only has houses. So, the geography of Main Street is different than the geography of Elm Street.
Jen raises her hand.
Mary Sue.
Yeah, what's outside of Pleasantville?
All the students turn and stare at her.
I don't understand.
Outside of Pleasantville? Like, what's at the end of Main Street?
Mary Sue, you should know the answer to that. The end of Main Street is just the beginning again.
A sign in the gym reads, Home of the Undefeated Pleasantville Lions. Boys in uniforms of tank top jerseys, short basketball trunks, and knee socks are practicing. Number 31 smiles and beckons to another player who makes a layup. 31 grins and passes the ball to the next guy. Every shot goes through the net. Dressed in a uniform, David bounces a ball. He sees the team make every shot, so he attempts a free throw. Nothing but net. The ball bounces right back to him. He tries a sideways one-arm shot. He makes it. He looks at the net, then at the ball.
Come on, man, let's go.
David watches as the players shoot one more time. Every ball goes in.
That's it, man. Keep it up. Big game tomorrow.
David bounces the ball and kicks it. Off the wall, into a beam, nothing but net.
Bud. Hiya, bud.
Hiya, Skip.
Hiya, bud.
Hiya, Skip.
Bud, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Well, if I was to go up to your sister, what I mean is, if I was to go up to Mary Sue...
Oh, my God. Are we in that episode?
What?
Oh, I don't believe this.
What's the matter?
But you want to ask her out tonight, right? And then you want to give her your school pin.
Yeah. How do you know?
Look, Skip, I don't think it's a real good time for that right now.
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, Mary Sue's a little different lately.
She won't go out with me?
No, hey, I didn't say that. It's just that right now she's...
I don't know what I'd do if she wouldn't go out with me.
Skip hurls the ball at the basket. It spins around the rim and bounces out. The whistle falls out of the coach's mouth and everyone stops and stares at the ball as it rolls across the floor. The coach holds out his arm.
Come here, guys. Don't touch it. Stay back.
I'm sure we'll work something out.
Later.
I thought you liked him.
Yeah, I don't know.
One date, Jen. Please, that's all I'm asking. If you don't go out with this guy, we could throw their whole universe out of whack.
It's too weird, David. This place gives me the creeps. Do you know all the books are blank?
What?
Yeah, I was in the library, and I looked, and they have covers, and there's nothing inside of them.
What were you doing in the library?
I got lost. Oh, wait, look at this. You know why the firemen only rescue cats out of trees? Because nothing burns around.
Jen, stop!
They don't even need firemen. I could really use a cigarette, too.
Jen, listen. I will get us out of here. I really will. But if we don't play along, we can alter their whole existence, and then we may never get home.
You really think anybody's gonna notice if I don't have, like, a chocolate malt with this guy?
Her friends approach.
You won't believe what we just heard.
Skip Martin is gonna ask you out.
And that's not all.
No, that's not all.
He's gonna give you his pen.
Jen and David look at each other. Later at home, she wears a pointy bra under her sweater.
Are you sure I'm supposed to wear this? I could, like, kill a guy with these things.
It's in your closet.
I've worn some kinky stuff before.
You won't notice anyway.
Why not?
Well, they just don't notice that kind of thing around here.
So what's the point?
Jen, please.
Hello, I've got, like, 3 pounds of underwear on here.
Just go with the program, huh? I'm late for work.
Work?
David runs across a downtown street wearing a short-sleeve white shirt, bow tie, and saddle oxfords. He enters the soda shop and puts on a narrow hat and apron.
Bud.
Yeah, sorry. I just had to help my folks and then I couldn't find my hat.
Oh, I didn't know what to do.
What's wrong?
Well, I always wipe down the counter and then you set out the napkins and glasses, and then I make the French fries, and...
Yeah.
But you didn't come, so I just kept on wiping.
David notices that the finish is worn off the counter where Mr. Johnson is wiping it with a rag.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, if this ever happens again...
He grabs Mr. Johnson's hand.
You can make the fries, even if I haven't put out the napkins yet.
Oh. Thank you.
They smile at each other. Later, it's dark outside, and teenagers are walking toward the soda shop. Jen's friends place their orders with David. He clips the order to a metal wheel and spins it around to the kitchen. Mr. Johnson looks at David.
There aren't any cheeseburgers.
What?
Usually I put out the burger and then you finish with the lettuce.
Okay, listen. Do you have the lettuce?
Yeah.
Have you cooked the burgers?
Yeah.
Okay, put on the lettuce, finish the burger, and pretend it was me doing it the whole time. Yeah, you can do it, really.
Jen enters with Skip. David watches as they sit down in a booth.
Sure, I'm glad you said you'd come out with me tonight, Mary Sue.
Oh, well, gee whiz, Skip. I sure am glad you asked me.
I don't know if I ever said this to you before, but... Well, I think you're just about the keenest girl in the whole school.
Oh, really, Skip? The keenest?
Oh, yeah.
David approaches.
What can I get you two?
I don't know, bud. I guess I'll have my usual cheeseburger and a cherry Coke.
Oh, I don't know, bud. I guess I'll have a salad and an Evian water.
She smiles sweetly as David stares at her.
Cheeseburger it is.
His eyes are wide as he walks back to the counter.
You see, the whole time we were in civics together, I really wanted to come over and sit next to you, but... You were always sitting between Lisa Ann and Peggy Jane. And you always seemed so smart and everything. Like that report you did on our town hall. Gosh, I didn't know what I talked to you about.
Yeah. Well, sometimes talking is overrated, don't you think?
Huh? Oh, right. So I know I haven't been steady with anybody or anything, but...
I just don't want to rush it. I mean, there's kids that are even holding hands already, but I figure there's plenty of time for that kind of thing later on, don't you?
Yeah. Can you excuse me for just a second?
She walks to the restroom. She opens a stall door. There's no toilet.
God.
She leans against the wall.
God.
Her friends enter.
Did he give it to you?
I bet he gave it to you.
I bet he's gonna take her to Lover's Lane.
Oh, I bet he is.
I bet he is. I bet he's even gonna hold her hand.
Oh!
Jen stomps out of the restroom and rejoins Skip.
So anyhow, I really wanted to sit next to you in civics, but...
You want to get out of here?
What?
Do you want to leave? Do you want to go somewhere?
But where can we go?
Lover's Lane.
Skip gulps and stares at her.
Lover's Lane?
Yeah. Lover's Lane. You up for it? Come on. Come on.
She takes his hand and leads him out the door. David makes a mess at the soda fountain. He bolts over the counter and runs after Jen and Skip.
Jennifer! Jennifer, stop! Stop! You can't do this, Jennifer! He doesn't exist! You can't do this to someone who doesn't exist!
They drive away. At Lover's Lane, couples sit in cars and look at a lake. Skip turns to Jen.
Sure is pretty.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous.
She's been looking at Skip.
To be honest, Mary Sue, I didn't think you'd want to come here until we'd been pinned for a little while.
Oh, Skip. You can pin me anytime you want to.
She leans toward him.
Or maybe I should just pin you.
That's silly, Mary Sue. How can you possibly pin me?
His smile fades.
Do you want some more cookies?
David looks at his plate.
No, thanks. I'm fine.
Betty and George smile at each other.
How about some marshmallow rice squares?
Those are swell.
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Now, who could that be?
I've got it.
David answers the door. It's Mr. Johnson.
Oh, hi.
Hi there. You took off so quick, I wasn't sure you were okay.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. I had to get home early.
But, you know how when we close up, I close the register, then you lower the blinds, and then I turn out the lights, and then we both lock the doors?
Yeah.
And, well, you weren't around this time. So I did the whole thing by myself.
Wow.
Not only that, I didn't even do it in the same order. First, I lowered the blinds, then I closed the register. And
he sees Betty.
Oh, hello, Betty.
Hello, Bill.
David looks at Betty, then at Mr. Johnson.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you for stopping by. I appreciate it.
He notices that Betty and Mr. Johnson are still staring at each other.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Outside.
Well, gee, thanks, Skip. I sure had a wonderful time.
His hair is messed up and he has a dazed look on his face.
Me too.
Night.
She kisses him on the cheek, then whispers in his ear. She gets out of Skip's convertible and walks to her house. Mr. Johnson is leaving.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, hello, Mary Sue.
David grabs Jen's arm.
What did you do to him?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing? That's not nothing.
Why don't you relax, bud? We had a nice time.
I'm really sleepy, and I have to wake up early in the morning to go to school. So, night.
She goes upstairs. Skip drives home and parks his car. He sits there with a dreamy smile on his face. He turns and sees a red rose on a black and white bush. He stares at the brilliant blossom as it flutters in the wind. The next day, a paperboy rides a bicycle through downtown tossing newspapers. At the Parker home, David is changing channels on the TV.
Hi, looks like it's going to be another beautiful sunny day. High 72, low 72, not a cloud in the sky.
All right.
He quickly turns it off as Betty enters.
It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Are you watching television?
He looks at her, gestures toward the TV, then looks at her again. She smiles sweetly at him and leaves. Later at school, he dribbles a ball as he walks toward the gym. He stops when he sees the team huddled around Skip, listening intently to what he's saying.
Oh, no.
Come on, man. Let's get in position. We got a big game next week. Let's go.
They all shoot at once, but none of the balls go in.
Oh, my God.
You can't do this, Jennifer. I warned you.
So what's the big deal? Oh, okay. They're not good at basketball anymore. My God, what a tragedy.
You don't understand. You're messing with their whole damn universe.
Maybe it needs to be messed with, David. Did that ever occur to you?
Hey, MS, how you doing?
Cool, PJ. How you doing?
Cool.
Cool. What are you doing to these people? You can't do this to them.
If I don't do it, who will?
No, but they're happy like this.
No. David, nobody is happy in a poodle skirt and a sweater set. You really like this, don't you? No, it's not like you think it's funny or dorky or anything. You, like, really like it.
No, you have it all wrong.
Thank God, I am personally mortified to be your sister right
now. You have no right to do this to them.
David, listen to me for just a minute. These people don't want to be geeks. They want to be attractive. They have a lot of potential. They just don't know any better.
Well, they don't have that kind of potential.
Oh, yeah? Look at that.
Wow. What happened to your gum?
I gotta go. I'm gonna meet Skip at the flagpole.
Later, David changes channels on the TV. At school, the basketball scoreboard reads, fourth quarter, home 16, visitors 87. At home in his pajamas, David examines the back of the TV. Downtown, a crowd of people have gathered outside a furniture store to stare at a full-size bed in the window. A doctor examines a girl's pink tongue.
Well, I don't think it's anything to worry about. You cut down on greasy foods and chocolate, and, you know, things like that. It'll probably just clear up on its own.
The girl and her mother smile. David sees a green car parked outside the soda shop.
Oh, that's just great.
Inside, the jukebox is in color, and a boy combs his hair with an orange comb. A boy and girl are kissing. David enters, looks around the crowded shop, and frowns. Jen grabs his arm. She's sitting with Skip in a booth.
Do you think we could have 2 cheeseburgers and some cherry cokes?
She sucks on a red cherry.
I'll be right with you.
Thanks.
Skip looks at her and grins. David goes behind the counter and writes the order down.
2 cheeseburgers, 2 cherry cokes.
He clips the order to the wheel.
There aren't any cheeseburgers.
Mr. Johnson is slumped below the cash register.
I thought we talked about this. I thought we
What's
said...
What's the point, bud?
In a storage room.
You make hamburgers. That is the point.
No, I know. I know I do. It's always the same, you know? Grill the bun, flip the meat, melt the cheese. You know, it never changes. It never gets any better or worse.
Okay, just listen for a sec.
Like the other night, when I closed it by myself, that was different.
Oh, forget about that!
Oh, okay.
Mr. Johnson looks down.
Really liked it, though.
Come here.
They sit at a table.
Look, you can't always like what you do. Sometimes you just gotta do it because it's your job. And even if you don't like it, you just gotta do it anyway.
Why?
So they can have their hamburgers! Sorry.
You know what I really like?
What's that?
Christmas time. See, every year on December 3rd, I get to paint the Christmas decorations in the window, and every year I get to paint a different thing. Here, I'll show you.
Mr. Johnson opens a photo album and smiles.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Thanks. But this morning, I was thinking, and I realized that I look forward to it all year. And then I thought, gee, that seems awfully silly. I mean, it seems like an awfully long time to be waiting for just one moment. Don't you think? Well, don't you?
I think that you should try not to think about that anymore.
Okay. I'll try that then.
He stares at a picture of his artwork. People pass a barber shop.
Morning, Dale.
Morning, Bill.
Inside.
Have they ever lost before?
Basketball? No, they sure haven't.
It just feels wrong. That's all.
Maybe that's where they get that saying. Can't win them all. That's a good point, Ralph. They do have that saying. Mm-hmm.
But they do win them all. They've always won them all.
Oh, good, Mr. Mayor. Here, here. Go ahead.
Oh, don't be silly, Roy. I couldn't possibly take your spot.
The mayor takes Roy's spot in the barber's chair. A boy shines his shoes.
What I want to know is, if they've never lost before and they've never tied before, isn't that what you call winning them all?
He's right. That's what you're calling.
Yeah.
Betty and three women are playing cards.
He said it would clear up on its own if she just stayed away from fried foods and sweets. Except it's spread to her lips now, too.
They stare at her.
Oh, I don't know.
And you say it was just red?
Well, you know, like real red.
I know what you mean. That's like this card that was in front of Bill Johnson's soda shop. I was going by it the other day, and it looked green. Real green.
Have you seen him lately? I was getting my sewing machine fixed across the street, and he was sitting in the window of his shop just staring.
That is strange.
Betty picks up her cards. She fans them out. They're all hearts, and the hearts are red, real red. She quickly pushes them back in a stack.
Your bid, Betty.
Later, Betty, wearing rubber gloves, washes dishes and hands them to Jen to dry.
Mary Sue?
Yeah?
What goes on up at Lover's Lane?
What do you mean?
Well, you hear these things lately, kids spending so much time up there. Is it holding hands, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Hmm. That and...
What?
It doesn't matter.
No, I want to know.
Well, sex.
Oh. What sex?
Jen grins with one side of her mouth and wrinkles her forehead.
You sure you want to know this?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you see, Mom, when two people really love each other very, very much, and they want to share that.
The scene changes to an outside view of their house as night falls. Jen and Betty are sitting at the kitchen table with milk and cookies. Jen looks at Betty.
Are you okay?
Yes. It's just that your father would never do anything like that.
Ah. Hmm. Well, you know, Mom, there are other ways to enjoy yourself without Dad.
Betty stares wide-eyed at Jen, who nods. Betty runs water in a bathtub as George stands between the twin beds in striped pajamas and drinks a glass of milk.
Sweetie, you coming to bed?
He pulls back the covers. Betty looks at herself in a mirror.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a bath first.
George, sitting on the edge of his bed, looks surprised. Betty removes her robe and looks in the mirror. The robe drops to the floor. George lies on his back in bed. Betty puts one foot in the tub, then gets in all the way and leans back. She closes her eyes. George tosses and turns. As water drips from the faucet, Betty raises her head.
Oh, my goodness.
George fluffs his pillow. George raises his head, listens, then shakes his head and puts it back down. Betty looks around and sees some color in the wallpaper and towels. A green glass swan holds colorful bath oil beads. A robin outside the window has a red breast. George sits up and cocks his head. Outside, a tree catches fire. David looks out a window and sees the flames. He goes outside to get a better look.
Oh, God.
He runs to the fire station.
Fire!
Nothing happens.
Fire!
He runs inside.
Fire!
The firemen are sitting in a room reading a newspaper, playing cards, and drinking milk when David bursts in.
Fire!
They look up calmly. David's eyes bug out.
Fire!
They look at each other.
Cat?
The firemen jump up and grab their hats and coats. Soon they're speeding toward David's house. David is sitting in the front seat with a driver and a Dalmatian.
Okay, right here. All right, stop. Stop!
The driver stops in front of the fire and looks around.
Where is it?
Whoa.
David pushes the driver out of the truck. The firemen and neighbors stare at the fire. David grabs a hose off the truck and hands it to a fireman.
Hey, here, grab the nozzle.
But where's the cat?
Come on, just hold on tight.
Whoa.
Water sprays forcefully from the nozzle.
So that's what these things do.
David looks at the fireman in amazement.
In honor and in recognition of your heroism, and with great appreciation from the citizens of Pleasantville, I am pleased to present you with this special commendation from the Pleasantville Chamber of Commerce.
The mayor hangs a medal around David's neck. George and Betty smile, and Mr. Johnson claps vigorously. David shakes the mayor's hand. Later, David's walking down the sidewalk, admiring his award, when a cheerleader approaches.
Bud!
She runs toward him with a plate of cookies.
Oh, hi.
That sure was swell.
Well, thank you, Margaret.
I baked you some of my oatmeal cookies.
Oh, no. You baked those for Whitey.
No, I baked them for you.
No, you baked them for Whitey.
No, I baked them for you.
No, you baked
no,
them for...
No, I baked them for you.
She pushes the plate up against his chest and stands very close to him.
Thank you.
Sure.
He takes the cookies and she walks away. Later, he heads toward the soda shop. He pauses and looks at a boy and girl standing outside kissing. They're in color. He goes in and puts on his apron. He looks around and notices that instead of milkshakes, the teens are drinking coffee. Most of the kids are in black and white, but at least three are in color. They stare at David. Jen gets up and walks toward him.
Hey.
Hey. What's going on?
I'm not sure. I want to ask you a question. I didn't really know how to handle it, so...
Okay.
As David walks through the soda shop, the teens smile and turn toward him eagerly but shyly.
Hey, Bud.
How you doing?
Hi, Bud. Hi.
You wanted to ask me something?
Tommy, who's now in color, looks at the couple across the table from him, then turns to David.
How'd you know about the fire?
What?
The teens and Mr. Johnson wait for his answer.
How'd you know how to put it out and all?
Oh. Well, where I used to live, that's just what firemen did.
And where's that?
Outside of Pleasantville.
Jen winces.
Well, What's outside of Pleasantville?
It doesn't matter. It's not important.
Margaret steps forward.
What's outside of Pleasantville?
She looks at him expectantly. He looks at her, then at the other curious faces. Tommy stares at David.
There are some places that the road doesn't go in a circle. There are some places where the road keeps going.
Keeps going?
Yeah, it just keeps going. It all keeps going. Roads and rivers and...
Like the mighty Mississippi?
What?
A boy hands David a green book. He opens it to the title page, which reads, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain.
Well, I thought the books were blank.
They were.
Jen steps forward.
Okay, this was not my fault. When they asked me what it was about, I didn't remember because I read it like back in 10th grade. But when I told them what I did remember, that's when the pages filled in.
The pages filled in?
Mm-hmm. But only up until the part with the raft, because that's as far as I read.
Do you know how it ends?
Yeah, I do.
So how does it end?
Margaret gives David a big smile. He looks at her and at the other teens.
Well, okay. Let's see, they were running away, Huck and the slave. They were going up the river trying to get free. And in trying to get free, they see that they're sort of free already.
He looks down at the book. More pages are filling in with copy and illustrations.
Oh my God.
The teens move in closer.
Hey, what about this one?
Another boy hands David a book.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this is great. This is this kid holding in Caulfield. He's a really lonely kid. He's kicked out of boarding school.
Outside the soda shop, things haven't changed. But later, teenagers, many of them in color, are standing in line outside the Pleasantville Public Library. Two girls leave with their arms full of books, chatting excitedly. Men sitting outside the barbershop watch.
Sheesh, look at them. Spreading all over the place.
Look at her books. Look at her sweater. I mean, going up to that lake all the time is one thing, but now they're going to a library? What's next? You're right. Somebody ought to do something about that.
The men turn their heads and gawk as a girl in a tight red sweater walks by.
Soon.
The mayor frowns. David watches the teens filing into the library and smiles.
George, you're probably wondering why I asked to stop by and see you today. I'm sure you've noticed the same things we all have. Certain changes in the town. You know what I mean by changes.
Changes?
It changes. And I'm not just talking about big stuff like the fire. It's the little things. Did you hear about Bill Miller?
No. What?
Wife wants him to get one of those new beds.
One of those big beds?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What's he gonna do?
I don't know. I mean, it's everywhere. Bill Anderson's boy just quit his job at the market.
What do you mean, quit?
Yeah, just took his apron off right in the middle of an order, said, I don't feel like it anymore. Groceries all over the counter. Took him 3 hours just to sort it out.
Sheesh.
The mayor gestures toward George.
Everybody really likes you, George.
Oh, well.
No, they do. And it's not just because you're a good bowler, it's because people respect you.
Well, thank you.
And it's important for them to see someone they respect stand up for what's right. I mean, if you love a place, you can't just sit back and watch this kind of thing happen now, can you?
No, of course not.
That is why I want you to be a member of the Pleasantville Chamber of Commerce.
He hands George a lapel pin in a box.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I hardly know what to say. It's just like yours.
Well, it is exactly like mine, George. Well, you can start by saying yes.
The mayor holds out his hand.
Yes.
And by getting me one of those swell pineapple kebabs.
Well, sure. You bet. Betty, Bob wants to try some of your great hors d'oeuvres.
George looks at the pen and smiles at the mayor. Then he frowns.
Betty?
He turns around.
Betty!
He sees David.
I'll get her.
George smiles, and David goes into the kitchen. Betty is leaning on the sink with her head down.
Are you okay?
She turns away, and he walks closer. He touches her back.
You all right?
She turns toward him. Her face is in color.
What am I going to do? I can't go out there this way. How can I go out there this way?
David stares at her with wide eyes.
Look at me.
It's okay. It's all right.
David glances toward the living room, then back at Betty.
Have you got any makeup?
In my handbag?
David opens a compact and dabs makeup onto a sponge.
Honey, where are you?
Here, give me your cheek.
He gently smears gray makeup over her pink face.
Here, give me the other. There.
He does the other cheek.
Good. I lift her chin.
He covers her neck.
Is it working?
Yes.
He blends makeup under her eyebrows and applies dark gray lipstick to her red mouth. He covers her hands and chin with makeup. Later, he examines her.
What? Does it look okay?
Yeah, it looks just like it did.
She looks in the compact mirror.
And they won't be able to tell.
No, they won't be able to tell.
Betty, are you in there?
She and David smile at each other. She removes her apron, smooths her dress, and pats her hair. She looks at David for approval. He smiles and she heads toward the living room.
Coming, sweetie.
Mr. Johnson is drying and stacking glasses when David enters.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Aren't you a little bit early?
Oh, I brought you something from the library.
He puts a big book on the counter.
It's an art book.
It's titled The World of Art.
Oh my gosh, Bud.
I just thought since you liked to paint, it might help to...
Mr. Johnson opens the book and stares at a self-portrait by Rembrandt.
Gee whiz.
He turns the page and raises his eyebrows at a landscape by J.M.W. Turner. David looks at him and smiles. The next page shows one of Monet's blue and green water lily paintings. Mr. Johnson turns the page and pauses to take in the swirling blue strokes of Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night. Another page shows a cubist painting. Mr. Johnson smiles. Next, he looks at a brightly colored abstract painting and a painting by Pablo Picasso. He closes the book on a still life of apples and oranges by Cezanne.
It's beautiful, Bud.
He's sitting in a booth next to David with his hands folded on the table. He looks down.
What's wrong?
I'll never be able to do that.
Well, you just started. I mean, you can't do it now.
No, that's not it. Just Where am I going to see colors like that? Must be awful lucky to see colors like that.
David smiles.
I'll bet they don't know how lucky they are.
Later, David runs to catch up with Margaret.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Swell.
Look, you probably don't think I should be asking you this.
He abandons his rehearsed speech and looks straight at her.
Will you go out with me tonight?
She grins and nods. He jumps over a fence.
And Mr. Simpson, your lawn looks great.
He almost runs into a woman pushing a baby buggy.
Yes!
He enters his house and starts upstairs.
David!
He comes back down and walks slowly toward the TV in the living room.
Well, come here, young fella.
The repairman's on the TV with a test pattern behind him.
You know, I've been thinking. I might have been a little hasty the other day when you asked to come home. It just took me by such surprise, you know? So even though I can't make any promises, well, I figured if you asked me real nice, I might just be willing to talk about it again.
I can't.
What?
Talk about it right now. I mean...
I'll be honest with you, bud. I'm getting a little concerned about all I'm seeing on some of these reruns.
Reruns?
Like when Margaret Henderson makes her cookies for Whitey. Those are not your cookies, bud.
Yes, I know. I know they are not my cookies, but...
Those are Whitey's cookies, bud. They belong to him. Then he eats them, then he asks her to go to Lover's Lane.
Look, I would love to talk about all this right now, but I am really in a hurry, so...
Bud!
Look, I can't hear you. It's really cruddy reception. We'll talk later.
He turns the TV off and stares at it. He goes upstairs where Jen is sitting on her bed reading.
What's wrong?
Listen... You're reading.
I can't believe you started such a dorky fad. It's D.H.
She looks at the cover.
Lawrence. You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read a couple of pages. Seemed kind of sexy.
It is.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
He sits on the quilted bedspread.
How come I'm still in black and white?
What?
I've had like 10 times as much sex as the rest of these girls, and I still look like this. I mean, they spend like an hour in the backseat of some car, and all of a sudden they're in Technicolor.
I don't know. Maybe it's not just the sex.
David gets out of a car with a bouquet of roses. Later, he and Margaret are riding along in a convertible. They smile shyly at each other.
Where is it?
A little bit farther, I think.
She turns on the radio.
WKPV, the sounds of Pleasantville. Here's a new one for all you kids out at Lover's Lane.
A pink petal floats into the car and David picks it up.
At last, my love has come along.
They drive through a park where everything is gray except for pink dogwood petals fluttering down on them like confetti.
My lonely days are over. And life is like a song.
The road ends and they drive onto green grass. Teenagers sit in clusters around a lake reading to each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, at last. The sky's above the blue.
David parks the car and he and Margaret smile at each other. They're still black and white, but everything and everyone else in the park is in color except for a few other teens.
In clover.
Blue and pink water lilies floating on the lake recall the Monet painting.
The night I looked at you.
It's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Pink roses bloom on a green bush.
I found a dream.
Downtown, Betty gazes at some black and white flowers in a shop window, then continues down the sidewalk.
A dream that I can call.
She stops and stares at the soda shop window, which is painted with a brightly colored cubist version of Santa Claus.
A thrill that I
She enters the soda shop. Mr. Johnson is painting at an easel.
We're closed right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I just thought that...
No. Come on in.
She gazes at the window.
It's beautiful.
Thanks.
He looks at the easel.
I was just trying to do one of these still lifes. Kind of having a tough time.
Oh, I think it looks nice.
Well, here's what it's supposed to look like.
He opens the big art book to the painting by Cezanne.
Oh, my.
Here, look at this.
He shows her The Red Room by Matisse.
Where did you get this?
Bud brought it to me.
My Bud?
Yeah. Here's my favorite.
He shows her the Picasso.
What do you think? Isn't it great how she's resting like that?
She's crying.
No, she's not.
He squints at the painting.
Yes, she is.
A tear rolls down Betty's cheek. She wipes it with her white-gloved hand. Mr. Johnson turns around and sees a spot of pink on Betty's cheek. They look at the gray stain on her glove. She walks away.
Wait!
No, I've got to go.
Let me see.
She stands with her back to him, but turns around gradually, her eyes cast downward. She slowly looks up at him.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I shouldn't cover that up.
He gets a paper napkin out of a dispenser, wets it in a pitcher of water, and walks back to her.
Here. Let me just...
She leans toward him cautiously. He tenderly wipes her cheek, revealing more pink skin. They gaze at each other. She closes her eyes, and he strokes away more of the gray. At the Parker home, Jen turns on a desk lamp to read. Her ruffled bedroom curtains blow in the breeze. She takes an embroidered and appliqued cardigan off the back of her chair and puts it on. Turning a page, she squints. She picks up some eyeglasses, examines them, and puts them on. When she looks at the book, she leans back in surprise and turns another page. A framed photo on her desk shows her wearing the glasses. It's dark now at Lover's Lane. Margaret and David are sitting on the grass.
So what's it like?
What?
Out there.
Well, it's louder and scarier, I guess. And it's a lot more dangerous.
Sounds fantastic. You know, the other night some kids came up here to go swimming and they took off all their clothes.
David stares at her.
Do you want some berries?
Huh?
Some berries. I picked them myself.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lots of stuff.
Like what?
Here. I'll show you.
In her bare feet, she runs across the grass in the moonlight and picks a big red apple from a tree. She runs back to David and offers it to him.
Here. Go ahead, try it.
At home, a pebble hits Jen's window. She leans out and sees Chip.
Mary Sue!
What are you doing?
It's 6:30.
So?
We were gonna... You know?
Oh, I can't.
Why not?
I'm busy.
With what?
I'm studying.
Chip looks confused as she pulls her head in and shuts the window. Up and down the street, men in business suits and hats are arriving home. George notices that his gate was left open. He closes it and goes inside. He sets down his briefcase and newspaper and hangs up his hat.
Honey, I'm home!
He points to his hat, looks down at his briefcase, and points at his hat again.
Honey, I'm home!
He looks around and notices that the house is dark. At the soda shop, Mr. Johnson is painting.
What was that?
I don't know.
Betty gets up and looks out a side window. She turns around and sees that, although she is fully dressed, Mr. Johnson has painted her without clothes. She looks at him. At Lover's Lane, David and Margaret are kissing when it starts raining.
What is that? What's going on?
It's rain.
Real rain?
Yeah. You don't have rain either?
Oh, of course you don't. It's okay.
Here, come on.
They run to a gazebo where other teens are huddled.
What's going on? It's rain. It's okay, it's fine. Nothing to be scared of. Here, I'll show you.
David walks out into the rain.
It's rain, it's okay. Fine, come on out. See?
Look. He holds up his arms and twirls around.
See?
They hold out their hands and touch the rain.
Come on, come on.
They open their mouths to taste the rain. Jen looks out her window and smiles.
Cool.
Downstairs, George walks into the dark living room.
Honey, I'm home.
He goes into the kitchen and looks at the empty table.
Where's my dinner?
He rests his hands on the back of his chair. Later, he peers into the oven, then puts his hands on his hips. He looks inside a pot on the cold stove.
Where's my dinner?
He goes outside and stands in front of his house in the rain.
Where's my dinner?
Bowling balls roll down three lanes, turning 7-10 splits into spares. A ball rolls up the ball return and the mayor picks it up. He aims and makes a strike. He thrusts his fist into the air, then stops and stares at George, who just walked in, wet and dazed.
George?
Another bowler catches George as he stumbles down the steps.
What happened? Are you all right?
The bowlers help him sit.
What is it?
The men let go of George and look at their wet hands. George looks up.
Rain. Real rain?
George nods. The electricity goes off.
Oh my God.
Are you all right?
I came home like I always do. And I went in the front door. And I took off my coat. And I put down my briefcase. And I said, honey, I'm home. Only there was no one there. No wife. No lights. No dinner.
No dinner?
I went to the oven, you know. I thought maybe she had made me one of those TV dinners.
Yeah, sure.
She hadn't. She was gone. I looked and looked and looked. She was gone.
It's going to be fine, George. You're with us now.
George looks down sadly.
What are we going to do, Bob? Well, we're safe for now. Thank goodness we're in a bowling alley. But if George here doesn't get his dinner, any one of us could be next. It could be you, Gus. Or you, Roy. Or even you, Ralph. That is real rain out there, gentlemen. This isn't some little virus that'll clear up on its own. Something is happening to our town. And I think we can all see where it's coming from. Roy, why don't you show them what you showed me before?
Bob.
It's okay, Roy. Come on up here.
Roy slowly walks over to Mayor Bob.
I know, Roy.
Roy lowers his jacket to reveal a scorch mark on his shirt.
Thanks. He asked her what she was doing. She said nothing. She was just thinking. My friends, this isn't about George's dinner. It's not about Roy's shirt. It's a question of values. It's a question of whether we want to hold on to those values that made this place great. So, a time has come to make a decision. Are we in this thing alone? Or are we in it together?
The men stare at the mayor. Jen reads her book. Betty and Mr. Johnson kiss, and the teens laugh in the rain. The screen turns white. The next day, a pink rose blooms, and a rainbow arches over the city. Betty is leaning against Mr. Johnson in a soda shop booth. Their eyes are closed. He opens his eyes and sees that everything in the soda shop, including himself, is in color. Sunlight illuminates the Cubist Santa window painting. The art book is open. A neon clock shines on the wall. Paintbrushes sit in glasses. The paint has tinted the water in them. Jen fell asleep with her book beside her. She's also in color now. She opens her eyes and sees her room in color. She smiles slightly. The teens fell asleep next to the lake. Margaret wakes up in color. She sits up and looks across the lake at David, who's still black and white. The milkman makes his morning deliveries to a mostly gray neighborhood. A sign on a telephone pole reads, "Town meeting tonight. All true citizens of Pleasantville. Town hall, 8 o'clock.
I told you where I was.
All night?
I got caught in the storm. You were gone all night, too.
Look.
Betty's in color. George is not.
Let's just forget about it. We'll just go to the meeting.
No. I told you, George, I am not going to that meeting.
Sure you are.
No. I'm not. Look at me. George, look at my face. That meeting's not for me.
You'll put on some makeup.
I don't want to put on some makeup.
It goes away. It'll go away.
I don't want it to go away.
He stares at her.
Now you listen to me.
He sits down with her at the kitchen table.
You're coming to this meeting.
You're going to put on some makeup. You're going to be home at 6 o'clock every night, and you are going to have dinner ready on this table.
No. I'm not, sweetie.
They stare at each other for a long moment. She gets up.
I made you a meatloaf. Just put it in the oven and turn this little knob up to 350. If you put the pie in 40 minutes later, it'll be hot in time for dessert. I made a couple of lunches for you for tomorrow and put them in brown paper bags. I'm going to go now.
Where are you going to go?
I'm going to go now.
Betty, don't go out there like that. They'll see you. They'll see you. Betty, come back here.
Outside, Margaret looks at David.
It's beautiful. Can I open it?
Sure.
Margaret opens a red plaid umbrella.
Where'd you get it?
It was a prop from the school play.
She twirls around.
Thank you.
She steps closer, and they're hidden behind the umbrella. A car carrying two black and white boys drives up.
Hello, Bud. Hello, Margaret.
Whitey.
Hey, Bud. Why aren't you at the town meeting right now?
No reason. How come you're not?
We're supposed to go around and let everyone know about it. I thought maybe it was because you were too busy entertaining your colored girlfriend.
Hey, why don't you guys get the hell out of here?
All right. We'll do that. You know, Margaret, you can come over and make those oatmeal cookies for me anytime you want to.
At the town meeting...
Front door.
It's always been blue.
People, please.
I think we all know what's been going on here. Up until now, everything around here has always been, well, pleasant. Recently, certain things have become unpleasant. Now, it seems to me that the first thing we have to do is to separate out the things that are pleasant from the things that are unpleasant.
It's dark. Street lights illuminate small portions of the sidewalks in downtown Pleasantville. Mr. Johnson is scraping paint off of his window when he sees Betty standing across the street in a blue dress holding a suitcase. He stands up. She smiles and walks toward him. The next day, the town is black and white, but the sky is pink and blue. A man puts brooms in a can outside a store. A sign in the window reads, "No Coloreds." The paper boy rides his bike down the street delivering newspapers. He falls off the bike in front of the soda shop. He sits up and stares at the painting on the window. It's a portrait of Betty, reclining and nude except for a towel across her hips. People gather and comment. David walks up behind the crowd and peers between their shoulders to see the brightly colored painting. As he runs away, he passes an appliance store.
What the hell do you think you're doing? Get in here. Now!
The TV repairman is calling to David from a TV screen. He enters the store.
You think this is a toy? You think it's your own little damn coloring book?
Look, it just sort of happened.
A deluge doesn't just happen. Bolts of lightning don't just happen.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, no? Let me show you something.
Go on, try it.
Boom! Right there! What do you call that, huh?
You know, you don't deserve this place. You don't deserve to live in this paradise. Where's the remote control I gave you?
Why?
Because you're coming home, you little twerp. And I'm going to put this place back the way it was.
I can't let you do that.
What?
I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you do that.
Just give me the damn remote.
I'm going to go now.
You're not going anywhere. You're going to get that remote and you're going to come home and we're going to make everybody happy again.
Boys are taunting Betty.
Hey, where are you going in such a hurry?
No, that's not real friendly.
Hey, let's see, she looks like a picture.
She's real pretty.
Yeah, you want to be friendly, don't you?
Yeah, come on. Why don't you show us what's under that nice blue dress?
Yeah, come on.
Betty runs away from the boys and David follows.
Hey, where are you going? There's nowhere to go over there.
You know, that is a lovely shade of blue. Now, don't you think that's a lovely shade of blue?
David punches Whitey, who falls down. Whitey wipes red blood from his face, and the other boys stare at him. David yells,
"Get out of here! Go on, go! Get out of here!"
The boys run away.
Are you okay?
Betty nods as she looks up at David. She stares at him.
What?
She opens her purse and takes out her compact and shows him his reflection. He's in color. They smile and hug each other. An angry mob of gray people is gathered around the soda shop. Whitey throws a rock through the painted window. Another boy throws one. The people cheer and pat the boys on the back. A park bench goes through the window and a wire trash can shatters the front door. The vandals go inside and smash the canvas painting of Betty. They sweep everything off the counter and crash the gumball machine into the jukebox. Betty and David watch.
It's okay, he's not in there.
After dark, David, Betty, Margaret, and Jen walk toward the wrecked soda shop. David holds the others back with his arm when he sees a group of people coming around the corner. It's the colored teens, wearing solemn, wide-eyed expressions.
Let's go inside.
They enter the shop. It's a total mess with almost everything broken or out of place.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson enters from the back holding a broom.
Just thought I'd try to tidy it up a bit.
Betty walks over and hugs him.
It's okay. Once we sweep it up, it'll be all right again.
She nods.
Yeah, he's right. Let's help me with this, will you? Good, this stuff in here.
David and another boy cover the broken window with a piece of fencing.
People!
The mayor holds up his hands at the town meeting.
People! This is not the answer, people. No matter how upset we may get, or how frustrated we may be, we're not going to solve our problems out in the street. It's just the wrong way to do it. We have to find a code of conduct that we can all agree to live by. Now, I asked George and Ralph here to sketch out a few ideas, and I think they've done a terrific job.
George smiles.
Now, if we can all agree to these, we can take a vote, and I think we can start off in the right direction. One, All public disruption and acts of vandalism are to cease immediately. 2, all citizens of Pleasantville are to treat each other in a courteous and pleasant manner.
At the soda shop.
Courteous and pleasant manner. Well, that's not too bad.
3, the area commonly known as Lover's Lane, as well as the Pleasantville Public Library, shall be closed until further notice. 4, the only permissible recorded music shall be the following: Johnny Mathis, Perry Como, Jack Jones, the Marches of John Philip Sousa, or the Star Spangled Banner. In no event shall any music be tolerated that is not of a temperate or pleasant nature. 5, there shall be no public sale of umbrellas or preparation for inclement weather of any kind.
He looks at Margaret.
6, no bed frame or mattress may be sold measuring more than 38 inches wide.
Jen scoffs.
7, the only permissible paint colors,
he looks at Mr. Johnson,
shall be black, white, or gray, despite the recent availability of certain alternatives. 8, all elementary and high school curriculum shall teach the non-changist view of history, emphasizing continuity over alteration. Wow.
Hey, this thing still works.
Turn that off! Like, you're not allowed to do that now!
With a frightened look, the boy unplugs the jukebox. David looks at him.
Sure you are.
David puts down the code of conduct and walks over to the jukebox. He takes the plug from the boy and sticks it in the outlet. He and the boy smile at each other. Jen smiles too. Margaret smiles at David. Jen notices that the girls have their legs crossed and are bouncing their saddle shoes to the beat. Everyone relaxes and smiles. Later, Betty is asleep on a park bench inside the soda shop, and Jen is asleep on the floor. David approaches Mr. Johnson, who's staring at the fencing covering the broken window.
Oh, this is good. Just do it?
Mr. Johnson looks down.
Don't worry, we'll get you a new one.
I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't paint anymore, but...
maybe I have an idea.
Mr. Johnson looks at David. The next morning, the paper boy is delivering newspapers. With a quick glance down the road, he makes a U-turn in front of the sporting goods store. Then he turns around and comes back. He stares at a colorful mural painted on a brick wall. David and Mr. Johnson are slumped on the sidewalk in front of it, asleep. The paper boy quickly rides away. Later, black and white townspeople gather in front of the mural. David wakes up and nudges Mr. Johnson, who opens his eyes and sees the people. The mural depicts teenagers' feet sticking up out of cars and features another nude Betty. It shows phonograph records, people kissing, the bowling alley, and a book burning with Catcher in the Rye on fire. It shows rain clouds and town halls sinking sideways into a body of water. The books Huckleberry Finn and Moby Dick are in flames. All the burning books have wings, taking them to the starry heavens. The crowd of people continue to point and stare. David and Mr. Johnson look at each other and smile. The mural also shows teenagers dancing and an apple with a snake around it. David and Mr. Johnson stand proudly in front of the wall in paint-spattered clothes, wordlessly defending their creation. That night, the colored teens gaze up at a window of the building where the mural was painted. Light streams from the barred window.
There.
It's the police station. Inside, David's reading a newspaper.
There's someone to see you, bud.
David's in jail.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
George enters his cell.
Is this a bad time?
No, it's fine. Come on in.
I brought you something.
Thank you. Cocktail olives.
Everything else was frozen. I didn't know how to...
I appreciate it.
You know, your mom went out.
Went out?
Yeah, she went out for a little while.
When?
3 days ago.
George sits next to David.
Jeez, everything is so cockeyed. I didn't even know it was Tuesday. Tuesday, we played bridge with the Jenkins. There was no bridge.
David smiles. George eyes the olives.
Can I have one of those?
Sure. Yeah, you hungry?
Mrs. Benson was making meatloaf next door. Almost climbed in her kitchen window.
George stuffs his mouth with olives.
What happened? 1 minute, everything's fine. The next...
He looks at David.
What went wrong?
Nothing went wrong. People change.
People change?
Yeah, people change.
Can they change back?
I don't know. I think it's harder. You okay?
Yeah. Not fair, you know. You get used to one thing... And then...
I know. It's not.
Bud Parker, William Johnson. You are charged with the desecration of a public building and with the intentional use of prohibited paint colors in violation of the Pleasantville Code of Conduct and Laws of Common Decency. Do you admit that on the night of May 1st, you did willfully and consciously apply the following forbidden paint colors to the north wall of the Pleasantville Police Station? Red, pink, vermilion, puce, chartreuse, umber, blue, aqua, oxblood, green, peach, crimson, yellow, olive, and magenta.
Yeah, I do. Where's our lawyer?
Oh, I think we want to keep these proceedings as pleasant as possible. I don't think a lawyer will be necessary.
In the courtroom, all the colored people except the defendants are seated in the balcony.
Do you further admit that this unnatural depiction occurred in full public view, where it was accessible to and in plain sight of minor children?
It was accessible to everyone.
Let the record show that the defendants have answered in the affirmative to all charges. Do you have anything to say in your defense?
Yeah, I
Bill?
Do.
David looks at Mr. Johnson.
I didn't mean to hurt anybody.
Betty watches.
Maybe if I painted something different. Or maybe I could use less colors or something. Or, you know, certain colors. Or maybe you could pick out the colors beforehand and then they wouldn't bother anybody.
I've got something to say.
Very well.
You don't have a right to do this. I mean... I know you want it to stay pleasant around here, but there are so many things that are so much better, like silly, or sexy, or dangerous, or brief. And every one of those things is in you all the time if you just have the guts to look for them.
That's enough.
I thought I was allowed to defend myself.
You're not allowed to lie.
I'm not lying. You see those faces up there?
He points to the balcony.
They're no different than you are. They just happen to see something inside themselves.
I said that's enough.
Here, I'll show you. Dad?
Yeah, but...
It's okay, Dad. Just listen for a sec.
I know you miss her. I mean, you told me you did. But maybe it's not just the cooking or the cleaning that you miss. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you can't even describe it. Maybe you only know it when it's gone. Maybe it's like there's a whole piece of you that's missing too.
George stares sadly at David.
Look at her, Dad.
George looks up at Betty in the balcony.
Doesn't she look pretty like that? Doesn't she look just as beautiful as the first time you met her?
George smiles and nods.
You really want her back the way she was?
George bows his head, then looks up at Betty.
Doesn't she look wonderful?
George nods. Tears fill his eyes.
Now don't you wish you could tell her that?
He nods, and so does Betty. David steps back. George is in color.
You're out of order.
Why am I out of order?
Because I'm not going to let you turn this courtroom into a circus.
Well, I don't think it's a circus, and I don't think they do either.
More people, including Skip, are turning colored.
This behavior must stop at once.
But see? That's just the point. It can't stop at once because it's in you, and you can't stop something that's inside you.
It is not inside me.
Oh, sure it is.
No, it is not.
David steps closer to the mayor.
What do you want to do to me right now? Come on. Everyone is turning colors. Kids are making out in the street. No one is getting their dinner. Hell, you could have a flood any minute. Pretty soon, the women could be going off to work while the men stayed at home and cooked.
That is not going to happen.
But it could happen.
No, it could not.
The mayor's face turns red.
Bud.
Betty stands in the balcony and tosses Bud her compact. He looks up at her and she smiles. He puts the mirror up to the mayor's face. His eyes grow large when he sees that he is in color. He walks sideways off the stage and runs out of the courtroom. One of the teenagers enters.
Hey, look at this.
Everyone turns around and walks toward the door. Outside, all of Pleasantville is in color. Yellow chrysanthemums are blooming. The townspeople stand on the steps of City Hall and gaze in wonder at pink azaleas, green grass, the whole spectrum of color.
Bud!
David turns around and sees Margaret running toward him in a red sweater. He smiles. They wrap their arms around each other and she gives him a big kiss.
Ugh.
Jen walks up.
What an image.
Oh, shut up.
Bud.
David turns and sees Betty smiling at him. He smiles back, then makes his way through the crowd to Norm's TV and radio shop. The TVs in the window show color images of the Great Sphinx and the Eiffel Tower. A sign reads, "See what a difference color TV can make in your life." He leans on the glass and watches TV. Later at a bus stop, a sign reads, "Springfield, 12 miles." David is standing nearby with Jen. A suitcase is sitting at her feet.
You sure you don't want to come home?
Yeah, I gotta do this for a little while. Besides, you think I even have a chance of getting into college back there?
Honestly? Do you have your admissions letter?
Yeah, it's right here. I did the sled thing, David. Got kind of old.
I'll come back and check on you soon.
Okay.
They hug for a long moment. The bus for Springfield arrives.
And he turned into a pretty cool guy. How'd that happen?
I don't know.
I'll see you.
Okay.
She walks across the street carrying the suitcase. She turns and waves.
Bye.
She pauses, then boards the bus. Later, Margaret's with David at the Parker home.
Just don't forget about me. Even if you never come back. I just don't want you to forget about me.
I couldn't do that.
Margaret gives him a big hug and he holds her close.
Here.
So what's this?
Lots of stuff, a meatloaf sandwich, and
a hard-boiled egg. And some marshmallow rice squares.
Hello.
There's some fried chicken in there, too. Don't go skipping dinner just because you're not here anymore.
I won't. I thought that you weren't gonna...
I had to come say goodbye.
Betty puts David's letter sweater around his shoulders.
Just wear this on the trip, in case it gets cold.
It's a pretty short trip.
Still. Her eyes tear up.
Oh, Bud.
She embraces him.
I am just so proud of you.
Thanks. I love you too.
She slowly steps back, smiling. She touches his chin.
Well, I guess you better stand back.
Margaret and Betty stand together with teary eyes. David turns toward the TV, swallows, then raises his arm, pointing the remote control at the black screen. He presses the red button, and his reflection on the TV screen fades. In the dark, the TV repairman is sitting in his truck outside David's real house. He smiles to himself and drives away. Inside, David is in his regular clothes, standing in front of the TV.
Well, that concludes the first hour of the Pleasantville Marathon. Don't forget, we'll be going all night long until noon tomorrow.
David turns off the TV and looks around. He picks up his Pleasantville letter sweater and smiles. He enters the kitchen where his mom is sitting at a table next to her suitcases crying.
Hi. I thought you went out of town. Came back.
He sits next to her.
What's wrong?
I don't know. Everything's just followed up. I got halfway down there and I thought, what am I doing? He's 9 years younger than I am. Doesn't make me feel younger. It makes me feel older.
When your father was here, I used to think this was it.
This is the way it was always going to be. I had the right house, I had the right car. I had the right life.
There is no right house, there is no right car.
God, my face must be a mess.
Looks great.
Honey, it's really sweet of you, but I'm sure it does not look great.
Sure it does.
He reaches for a box of tissues and removes one.
Come here. I'm 40 years old. I mean, it's not supposed to be like this.
It's not supposed to be anything. Hold still.
He gently wipes the mascara from under her eyes.
How'd you get so smart all of a sudden?
I had a good day.
She smiles. In Pleasantville, Mr. Simpson waters his green lawn. A boy in a green shirt leans over a trash can and eats an orange. Jen reads a book to a young man who wears glasses. A woman and small boy walk past the mural on the police station. George and Betty sit on a park bench.
So what's going to happen now?
I don't know. Do you know what's going to happen now?
No, I don't.
Betty turns back to George, but Mr. Johnson is sitting there now.
I guess I don't either.
Narrative script written by Nancy Bizjack for the Emmy Award-winning